there's a train to come. Don't need no baggage, you just get on board.
Welcome to New Hope for Today with Pastor Tom Belhigh, a broadcast ministry of New Hope Church ECO in Washington, Pennsylvania. New Hope Church is dedicated to bringing you sound biblical teaching, the truth of God's Word. So get ready for your New Hope for Today.
Are you contagious? And I'm not talking about the flu or Ebola. Are you a contagious Christian? Let's hear what Pastor Tom has to say about intentionally contagious Christianity.
Now all you need is faith to have a diesel's hum. Don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord. That's right.
So as we read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, hear God's word speaking to you. Hear now the word of God. Therefore, since it is by God's mercy that we are engaged in this ministry, we do not lose heart. We have renounced the shameful things that one hides. We refuse to practice cunning or to falsify God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we commend ourselves to the conscience of everyone in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not proclaim ourselves, we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who is shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in clay jars, so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. Thus says the word of God. Let's go to God in prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that as the message is proclaimed, that you speak to hearts, you speak to minds, you speak to souls, Lord, that it be no mistake that we hear your clear, perfect voice, that we may be changed and be more like Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've had a lot of things kind of going on around the world, haven't we? And one of those things is the crisis that's in here in the country now, which is what?
Ebola,
huh? That's this viral thing that's occurring. And I was talking with the kids one day, with Tina. We were talking about that, and we looked at this. Have you ever seen this at all? Think about Ebola spreading. Think of it this way: if you had one penny, and you doubled it on the first day, you had two pennies. And you kept doubling that penny for 30 days. Now, how much money do you think you would have at the end of all that? Beginning of day one, you have 2 cents, right? And as you keep on going, at the end of day 14, you have $163. So it seems like, yeah, you know, okay, not a big problem. If you consider this to be somebody who has caught the Ebola virus, look at it that way, who maybe passes it on to this now nurse and, you know, this other nurse and this contagiousness that's happening. Here's the thing. Look at the next 14 days. At the end of the 30th day, you would have $10.7 million. Wow. By those same pennies doubling every day for 30 days. Now, the point of all this, it's, you know, it's like Ebola. This is a contagious person spreading this virus to two people. Then those two people spread it to four people. Then those four to eight, right? 16 and on. And if this would occur over a period of 30 days, you'd have a tremendous amount of people that would be infected. So let's consider this with the title of the slide here, Contagious Christian. What if you were a contagious Christian? What if you went out and infected a person with Jesus Christ to spread his message? You know, if everybody here did that for 30 days, can you imagine what would happen? Now, there's no question. You know, people just don't, boom, automatically accept things. And it takes time, and that's discipleship, no question about it. But contagious Christianity is something that has to be intentional. Contagious Christianity is something you have to work on to do. And that's kind of what our verse talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 through 7. Let's kind of break this down a little bit. The first verse, therefore, since it is by God's mercy that we are engaged in this ministry, we do not lose heart. It's God who by his mercy has called all of you here who believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He has called you for this great purpose, to be engaged in ministry. Notice he doesn't say that the pastor needs to be engaged in ministry. He says that we are engaged in ministry. And so you shouldn't lose heart, because it's by God's calling that you all are engaged in ministry, that you can practice your faithfulness in Jesus Christ no matter where you are, at work, at school, and so forth. And so in chapter 2, or in verse 2, we read that we have renounced shameful things that one hides. We refuse to practice cunning. We don't want to falsify the words of God. We want to preach the truth. We want to talk to people about the truth. We commend ourselves to the conscience of everyone in the sight of God. So as Christians, we are on a mission work to spread the good news of Jesus Christ by how we live our lives, by that intersection of when you can talk to somebody about Jesus. The Holy Spirit does that for us. He intersects our paths with those opportunities. By just acts of goodness. Lots of different ways that we do that. And even if our gospel is veiled, Paul says in verse 3, it's veiled to those who are perishing. So the point is that, yes, are there some people that take the message of Christianity and kind of discard it? Are there some people, when presented with who Jesus is, ignore it? Yeah. I mean, I was one of those people for a long, long time, till God happened to soften my heart and I accepted Christ wholeheartedly. And I began to understand all these things that Paul talks about. It's no longer veiled to the Christians who have the power of the Holy Spirit who lives in you to make clear in wisdom and knowledge the Word of God. Now, it doesn't happen all at once. It doesn't happen in one sermon. It doesn't happen in one reading. It happens daily in our lives as we live as intentional Christians. Verse 4, he says, in their case, the God of this world has blinded their minds, blinded the minds of unbelievers. You know, they're more concerned about the world than they are of God. And it keeps them from seeing the light of the gospel, of the glory of Christ, who's the image of God. For we do not proclaim ourselves. So when we go out on this mission work that we have in our community, in our jobs, at school, and so forth, in our families, we don't commend ourselves. That's not what we're doing. We're not proclaiming ourselves. We're proclaiming Jesus Christ as Lord. You're sharing with other people how God has changed your life through Christ. And now these last two verses, for it's God who said, let light shine out of darkness. You see, we're all little lights, actually big lights. I mean, we're all big lights going into a dark world of people who don't know. And our world is, in the United States, is getting increasingly dark. We constantly are running up against people who have no idea what's in the Bible, who have no idea that God loves them, who has no idea that God wants to be with them, who God came down from heaven to be one of them, that by belief in Jesus Christ, that God lives in you by the power of the Holy Spirit, so that all you little lights, all of us together, can go out and be a light in darkness, that others can see Jesus in us, that we are to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, you know, we have this, we live on this natural, supernatural sort of line, don't we? Where, yeah, we're made up of flesh and blood and all that stuff, and we're so fragile. I mean, you know, life is fragile. It's a candle in the wind, isn't it? Verse 7 talks about that. It says that we have this great supernatural treasure that God pours into you by the power of the Holy Spirit. God in you, in jars of clay. Clay jars, what happens with clay jars? You set them down on the ground too hard, what happens? Yeah, they break, they crack. You know, you knock them over, they most likely aren't going to be intact. They crack, they chip. We're fragile human beings. But through fragile human beings, God speaks his message to people. That we are called to be out and to be contagious to others. That they may see this light in these fragile bodies. Are we perfect? No, we're not perfect. These pews are filled with sinners, of people who are disobedient to God one way in thought, word, and deed every day. This pulpit's filled with somebody like that. You know, so we're fragile human beings that God has poured this great treasure into to prove that the power of the message of Jesus Christ belongs to God. We are just his ambassadors, his emissaries, that which he works through. And so think of it this way, that God has poured out this great treasure into fragile but believing human beings so that you may share the light of this treasured knowledge in the dark world in which we live. We're called to be contagious Christians. And so let me offer something up to you as to what that means and what are the practical aspects of that. What can you do? What can we do as individuals when we walk out these doors and live the rest of life until we come back here together next week to worship God on Sunday? You have to have in your mind that contagious Christianity has got to be something intentional. It's got to be something that you're thinking about doing. It's got to be a belief that and a faith that you want to exercise daily in your life. I mean, it's too easy to forget about it, isn't it? But we need to be contagious. And so how do we do this? What are some practical things that you can do? We are called, you are called to be a blessing in other people's lives. And so if we think about it that way, if we have the acronym of BLESS, that in this week from today until we meet again next Sunday, what can you do during the course of the week? Well, here's five things. And we'll use the word blessed to look at them. You can be good. You can do an act of goodness and kindness to a church family member, to someone outside of the church, and to one other person. Whatever that might be. If it's a word of encouragement that you give to somebody, shopping for groceries at one of the carts that's in the parking lot somewhere, take it and go help the guy that picks the carts up. You know, put it away. There's acts of kindness that we can all think of and that we can all do. So my challenge to you is in this week, do three of them, whatever that might be. Jesus says in Matthew 22, verse 39, that the greatest commandment and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And the greatest and best thing that you can do for yourself is what? Is believing in Jesus Christ. There's nothing greater than that. That one decision you make in your life that has changed in your life. And if you love others, you'll want to share that message somehow too. And we can share the gospel message in the good and nice things that we do for people, the kindness that we can share for others. And so I encourage you, do that three times this week. Now, let's look at the L part of it. Learn. Learn about God. The exercise of your faith does not occur in a vacuum. You don't make it up in your own mind. We have this specific revealed word of God that teaches us how we ought to live our lives. And so I challenge you to do this. Read the Gospel of Luke and John before Christmas. That's 45 chapters. There's 24 in Luke and 21 in John. You can read a chapter a day, and by the time Christmas comes around, you'll be there. So between today and next week, read five or so chapters of the first five chapters of Luke. You know, once a day. Simple thing. Not hard to do. Psalm 119, 105. You can read all of Psalm 119, and it talks about the veracity and the truth of the Word of God and how it has an impact on your life. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. There's no question about that. That's how we grow in Christ. And here's another interesting thing. How about the E? You know, eat. When you look through the Bible, there's a couple curious. In Acts chapter 2, verse 46 to 47, they broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So have a meal with somebody. I mean, there's nothing like sitting down and having a meal together with someone. I mean, we do this every... You can check off one of these, you know, in about an hour here, half an hour, right? You can sit and have a meal with somebody from the church to talk to them about their life story, to talk to them about what's going on in their lives, to be interested with sincerity, with glad and sincere hearts toward one another. And on top of that, have a meal, have a lunch, meet someone for breakfast, whatever the case might be, invite somebody over, somebody outside the church. And then one other person. The first 300 years of the growth of Christianity spread, not by institutional churches, not by some hierarchy. It was person to person. It was spread by individuals all across the Roman world in the Mediterranean area. Spread person to person. Having a meal with somebody is just something different. You know what I mean, right? I mean, I don't even have to explain that. There's a more personal contact when you invite somebody over, when you go to lunch with them, when you talk with them, face to face, eye to eye, not, you know, writing text or emails. It's personal. The S, in bless, is to seek. Jeremiah 29, verses 12 and 13, call upon me and come and pray to me, God says, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me, and you're going to find me when you seek me with all your heart. God calls us into this holy conversation with him. He wants to converse with us. John 10:16, Jesus talks about being the good shepherd. And his sheep hear his voice. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen, Jesus says, and I must bring them in also, the Gentiles he's speaking about. And they too will listen to my voice, and they will know my voice. And so remember that prayer is a dialogue. That, yeah, we lift up our concerns and all of those things to God, which he already knows anyway, but it's an exercise that we have even with our parents when we're young. And we tell them the concerns of our hearts, even with our friends and spouses and others. You know, even though you might know what somebody has on their heart, you know, it's one thing to hear it. And it's another thing in prayer to listen to what God says to you. And he speaks, if you read his word in the L of bless, you will begin to understand and discern his right word to your heart. Doesn't happen overnight, but it happens over time. And so pray and listen to God 10 minutes a day. You know, if you read a chapter of the Bible, pray about that beforehand. Pray about it after you read it. And you're going to find out that God is going to speak to you. The last S is having this understanding of being sent and who is sent to you and where God is sending you. Having a missional mentality. You see, when we leave these doors, God will send you somebody to cross your path. I don't know who it's going to be. It'll be somebody at work. It'll be somebody at school. It'll be someone in your family. There's going to be an issue or problem somebody's going to have. And you'll be the one that is in the path of that person. So you keep your spiritual antenna up, so to speak, and you have a radar of who God is sending to you. And so keep a journal over the week, you know, either mentally or actually keeping a journal if that's how you want to do it. But who has God sent to you in your path today? Because when you think of this, I'm going to tell you that every day you're going to find that. You're going to find somebody that he has sent to you. Now, the other half of that is, where is God sending you today? Has he called you into somebody's life? Has he called you to participate into a sorrow that someone is suffering or into a great joy that someone is experiencing? This is another thing. If you pray about this, if you do the fourth part in seeking and you pray about it, and if you're being good to people and you're learning and you're having meals with people, you're going to find this in droves of where God is sending you. In John 20:21, it says, again, he said, peace be with you. This is after Jesus rose from the dead. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. That as Christians, as contagious Christians, we need to be missional in our thinking. It's got to be intentional missional thinking. You got to be obedient to who God sends you because you never know how that's going to turn out. And so there is a practical application. And because some of you will do this, some of you will embrace this, and some of you won't. Some of you will do all of it, some of you might do some of it. But this is what I'm going to say, is that if we do this, if we reach out in some way and be intentional about it, God is going to be speaking. He's going to work in your life somehow. Because we have this treasure in jars of clay, so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. And so God has poured out this great treasure into fragile but believing human beings, so that you may share the light of this treasured knowledge in the dark world in which we live. And I just challenge you to be a contagious Christian. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer. Holy Father, we know what you have laid out in your word that you call us to do. And sometimes we get caught up with the volume of obedience that is in Scripture. Just help us, Lord, to do these few little things. So we lift up this prayer to you today in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen.
That was a powerful message. It had some practical steps about how to put your faith into action. I urge you to look for opportunities to put BLESS into action this week and be a courageous, contagious Christian.
Thank you for listening to New Hope for Today with Pastor Tom Belhigh and New Hope Church ECO in Washington, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church home, please come and visit this Sunday at 11 a.m. For more, check out newhopechurcheco.org or call 724-222-7490. Love God, love others. That's what New Hope Church is all about. New hope, new life, new family, new mission, all in Christ Jesus. Be sure to tune in next week for more New Hope for Today. Until then, may God bless you.
Let them hear you when I speak. Let them feel you.